Yaha, which, aso, that, Twaya, by you, Karasa Roja, with the lotus palm, Hataha, struck, Patangha, the ball, Dikshu, in all directions, Brahmam, moving, Brahmata, restless, Ejayate, disturbs, Akshini, eyes, me, of me, Muktam, scattered, Na, not, Te, your, Smarasi, are you mindful of, Bakra, curling, Jata, of hair, Barutam, bunches, Kashtaha, giving trouble, Anilaha, wind, Harati, takes away, Lampata, like a man attached to woman, Eshaha, this, Nivim, lower garment. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki chai. My mind is always restless, and by playing with the ball, moving it all about with your lotus-like palm, you are also agitating my eyes. Your curling black hair is now scattered, but you are not attentive to arranging it. Are you not going to arrange it? Like a man attached to women, the most cunning wind is trying to take off your lower garment. Are you not mindful of it? Responsibly, my mind is already restless, and by playing with the ball, moving it all about with your lotus-like palm, you are also agitating my eyes. Your curling black hair is now scattered, but you are not attentive to arranging it. Are you not going to arrange it? Like a man attached to women, the most cunning wind is trying to take off your lower garment. Are you not mindful of it? Purport. The girl Puravachiti was playing with the ball in her hand, and the ball seemed like nothing but another lotus flower captured by her lotus-like palm. Because of her movements, her hair was loose, and the belt holding her cloth was giving way, as if the cunning wind were trying to make her naked. Yet she paid no attention to arranging her hair or fixing her dress. As Agnidar tried to see the girl's naked beauty, his eyes were very agitated by her movements. Mukham karoti vachanam panghun langayate girim yat kripa tam ham bande shiguru dinataranam paramananda madhavam. So in this chapter we hear the narration of Maharaj Agnidar, who was the son of Maharaj Priyavrata, a very famous and devoted king. Maharaj Priyavrata, in due course of time, left his kingdom and went into the forest to meditate and dedicate his life completely for worshipping the Lord. And he entrusted his kingdom to his eldest son, Maharaj Agnidar, who was also a very qualified king and very kind to all his subjects. In due course, Maharaj Agnidar developed a desire to have a son and go to Pitriloka. Srila Prabhupada explains that generally the Vaishnavas, the sons, children, are not expected to aspire to go to Pitriloka. But in this particular case, Srila Prabhupada quoting Giridhari Goswami, a commentator on the Bhagavatam, that Maharaj Priyavrata, at the time of conception of Maharaj Agnidar, was infatuated with some lusty desires, and as a result Maharaj Agnidara had this desire to go to Pitriloka, and for that he needed to have wife and son. So he prayed to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is revered, worshipped even today for those who want good progeny. Indeed, in some of the cards, invitation cards, you see, you'll see the picture of Lord Brahma. Because by the blessings of Lord Brahma, we can have good progeny. So, Maharaj Agnidar, with this desire to have a son who would in due course be able to offer Pinda to him, went into the caves of Mandara mountain and there engaged in severe austerities. In due course of time, Lord Brahma was very pleased with his austerities, and understanding his desire to have a son, he sent forth a damsel of the heavenly planets, an apsara named Purvachiti. Shishi Gornitai Kija, Shri Radha Ras Bihari Lalita Visaka Devi Kija, Shri Jagannath Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Kija. So, in due course, Lord Brahma sent this girl, Purvachiti, very attractive lady from the heavenly planets, an apsara. So, in the beginning, when Maharaj Agnidar, when his meditation was broken, he thought that, looking at this beautiful girl, he thought that this was male. He could not immediately understand that actually it was a female form. But in due course he understood that this was indeed a lady. And he became very much attracted to this lady, and he wanted to have her as his wife. So this attraction of the male and the female is the basic principle of this material world. It's the pivotal point of this material world. Pumsam istriya maithuni bhavam etat. Pumsam istriya maithuni bhavam etat tayor mitho hridaya granthi ahur. In this world, pumsam, the men are attracted to women, pumsam istriya, and the istriya, the ladies, are attracted to men. This is the basic fundamental principle of this world. Attraction between the male and the female. Pumsam istriya methuni bhavam etat. And out of this attraction, there is the hridaya, tayor mitho hridaya granthi ahur. The granthi, granthi means a knot. A knot is tied in the hearts of the male as well as the female. And that leads to having family, children, spending so much of your time in sense gratification. And Bhagavatam also explains in the second canto that this attraction between man and woman, because I have to be a little bit blunt here, because it's the Bhagavatam, I have to repeat what the Bhagavatam says. There's a coating on the genitals that it's a substance that gives such intense pleasure that the distress of begetting children or maintaining a family is counteracted. This pleasure, the union of the male and the female, is so intense that one does not care for all the troubles, all the distresses that one will have to undergo as a result of this union. This attraction between the male and female is explained as a perverted reflection of the Adiras. The Adiras is the living entity's attraction or service to Krishna. Originally, we are all attracted to Krishna, to serving Krishna. This same attraction to Krishna comes in a perverted form in this material world as the attraction between the male and the female. And it is so strong, as I said, that it counters even and counteracts the distresses of maintaining, encumbrances of maintaining family life. Even great persons, even materially speaking great persons, like Julius Caesar. Julius Caesar was a great emperor who conquered so many parts of the world, is very well known. Nevertheless, he was conquered by Cleopatra. He had to fall at the feet of Cleopatra, beg for Cleopatra for her so-called mercy. Therefore, our Vedic scriptures, they advise us that we should be very careful in maintaining brahmacharya, controlling our senses, because this is what will bind us perpetually to this material world. Srila Prabhupada also warned us again and again, be very, very vigilant. The Shastras warn us, we should never be alone, even with one's own daughter or one's sister. Because the senses are so strong that even a person, a learned person, can get agitated being alone next to a woman who is maybe his daughter or even his sister. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also warned us in this very regard. One incident of Srila Prabhupada was that Srila Prabhupada, just to set an example for all of us, in Los Angeles, he was at the time of greeting the deities, after offering his obeisance to deities, to Sri Rukmini Dwarkadesh, he was murmuring something to himself. His lips were obviously moving. So after that, some of the devotees, they asked Prabhupada, we saw your lips were moving, what was the prayer you were chanting, or what were you saying? So Prabhupada said that I was praying to Krishna that I may not fall down. So this is the standard. Mahabhagavat. We should always be praying to Krishna that we should not fall down. Prabhupada also warned us that my devotees, my disciples, they are not afraid enough of Maya. We should be very, very much afraid of Maya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also instructed us in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in connection with the story of Chota Haridas, that alas, for anyone who's endeavoring to make advancement in spiritual life, to think or to associate with those people who are too much attached to women or to sense gratification, it is worse than drinking poison. It's better to drink poison than to think of women or to associate with people who are too much attached to women. So this applies to everyone, whether one is a brahmachari, sannyasi, grihastha, in every ashram, vanaprastha. In fact, Prabhupada said one time, being a brahmachari is good, that's very nice, but a person, even a householder, who does not get agitated despite his beautiful and obliging wife, this is even better. So this situation or this condition is achieved as Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur has said, by engaging in the devotional service of the Lord. Durdant indriya kala sarp patali prokta damsrayate. He gives the example of a snake with broken fangs. So just like a snake whose fangs have been broken does not create any fear in anyone's mind. If you know, okay, there's a snake, but you know that the fangs have been broken, so it does not create any fear for you. So similarly, durdant indriya kalpasat patali prokta damstrayate, it's like a snake with broken fangs. Always be very careful not to associate or have too much dealings with the opposite sex, because the senses are very strong. In the Shastras there is one story of one great rishi who was known as Rishi Ashringa. This story has a very deep meaning, so I would just like to briefly narrate it. It's in the 9th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the story of Rishi Ashringa. The story goes on that there was one king named Romapad. So Maharaj Romapad was a great friend of Maharaj Dasharath, the father of Lord Ramchandra. And prior to the appearance of Lord Ramachandra and his brothers, Dasharath Maharaj had one daughter, her name was Shanta. So Maharaj Dasharath gave away his own daughter Shanta to Romapad, because Romapad did not have any issues. So Romapad was taking care of this Shanta. However, in Romapad's kingdom there was a drought for so many years. Not a drop of rain fell. They did so many yagyas, everything, but no avail. Finally, the council of Brahmanas advised Maharaj Romapad that this is due to some sinful activity which you have performed in your previous life. And so Maharaj Rompad said, okay, then what is the cure for it? What is the solution? So they said, only if a person who has never seen a woman comes to your land here, will this drought go away. So Maharaj Romapad was in perplexity. A person who has never seen the face of a woman, anyone must have seen at least the face of his mother. Is it not true? At least he must have seen the face of his mother, if nothing else. No one. But then the council of Brahmanas, they told him, indeed there is such a person who has never seen the face of a woman. So this was Rishi Ashringa. This Rishi Ashringa, his father had taken him to a forest, and actually before he was born, Rishi Ashringa's father had given some prasadam to his wife so that she could conceive. Anyway, the wife did not want to get pregnant. She left, but she gave that prasadam to a female doe. In due course of time, this doe gave birth to a person a human person, but because it was born from a doe, he had horns on his head. So that's why he was known as Rishi Ashringa. He was a rishi, he was the son of a great rishi. So his father was very careful. He did not want him to fall into maya. He knew the attraction of men and women is so strong. So he tried, I will keep my son aloof from all women. So he never gets attached to women. So he took him to a forest and brought him up without any association of any woman at all. So now the problem remained with Romapad Maharaj, how to get such a person to his kingdom, and unless he does bring him to his kingdom, there will be no rainfall. So they devised a plan. They arranged some prostitutes to bring him. So these prostitutes, they came to the ashram hermitage of Rishi Ashringa. They watched for an opportunity when Rishi Ashringa's father was away. They approached him and gave some nice sweets to him, worshipped him. Rishi Ashringa was very much captivated by the beauty. In the beginning, because he had never seen a female before, he was thinking, these are brahmacharis. But they are very beautiful brahmacharis. Handsome brahmacharis. He was thinking, very beautiful brahmacharis. I have never seen such beautiful brahmacharis before. He was thinking like that. And then these prostitutes, they caressed him, embraced him, gave him nice things, worshipped him. All the time he was thinking that these are all male people. But he was internally, he was agitated. The senses are very strong. The prostitutes, realizing that Rishi Ashringa's father may come any time, quickly did their job, left for the time being. Then again they sought some opportunity when Rishi Ashringa was alone, and in this way they invited him, please come. And Rishi Ashringa, because he was attracted to them, he went with them to Maharaj Romapad's kingdom. And the minute he entered Maharaj Romapad's kingdom,
it started raining. The doubt finished. And later on, this same Rishi Ashringa did the sacrifice for Maharaj Dasharatha so that he could get 4 good sons. We all know that. Lord Ram, Lakshman, Bharat and Shatrughan. So the purpose of the story was that this was a Rishi. Here was a Rishi, Rishi Ashringa, who had never seen a woman in his life. Yet when these women prostitutes came, he became so attracted. And then he went with them later on by the arrangement of Maharaj Rompada. He was married. This attraction between the male and the female is so strong and it lasts all the way till the end of one's life. Once Akbar, you know, very powerful king, emperor Akbar, he questioned Birbal, one of his ministers, one of the most intelligent minister, that how long does this attraction between male and female remain? Is there any point at which this attraction diminishes? Birbal said, no, it will go on till death. So Akbar was not convinced. In order to convince Akbar, Birbal devised one plan. One of the ministers of Akbar was terminally ill and just about to leave his body. So Birbal took Akbar with him to visit this man in the hospital, and he cautioned to Akbar that please bring your young daughter with you and you just watch the expression on this dying man's face. So Birbal and Akbar entered the room. Akbar's young daughter also was with Akbar. This man was dying. Any moment he would have died. But the minute his eyes fell on this little beautiful girl, he just could not take his gaze off. There is a verse, Angam Galitam Galitam Mundam. Angam Galitam, one's body will Galitam Sad Jata Galitam. Angam Galitam will be vanished. Angam Galitam Galitam Mundam. Your hair will also become completely white. Your head will become completely free of hair. Dashabihena Jatam Tundam, your teeth will all fall off. Yet the old man Vridha Yati Grihitva Dandam. Person becomes very old. Vridha Yati, he's going. Grihitva Dandam, he's taking a stick and walking. But what he is thinking? Tad apanyas munchyatasa pindam. Can I enjoy a little bit more? This is the situation. Tad apna munchyatasi pindam. Not Kapila, yesterday we heard from Lokanath Maharaj. Balam pasyami maya. My maya is so strong. But also, Krishna says, Vishaya avinivartante nirharasya dehina raso varjyam rasopayasya param drishtva nivartate. When one gets a higher taste, then one can give up these lower tastes, the baser tastes. There are so many examples. In our own Vaishnava literatures, Yamunacharya, yesterday we heard also, as I have been hearing, Yamunacharya says, the glories of the Lord, I have been experiencing so many different rasas, that whenever I think of woman, my lips turn with distaste and I feel like spitting at the thought.
This is Yamunacharya, the guru of Sripad Ramanujacharya. Another incident that comes to mind, there are many incidents, Bilvi Mangal Thakur.
So attracted to his to one prostitute, Chintamani. Even when his father died, returning from the funeral of his father, he went straight to enjoy this prostitute, Chintamani. However, by her good advice, he left her and went to Vrindavan. That's another story.
One another story that comes to my mind is that of Sripad Ramanujacharya and his disciples. Because in our tradition, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur paid a lot of respect to all the other Vaishnava Sampradayas. There's a temple in Vrajapatnam in Mayapur where the deities of the four Vaishnava Acharyas, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Nimbarka and Vishnu Swami are installed. So we should also pay due regard and respect to the Vaishnava Acharyas. So Ramanujacharya, he was residing in Srirangam and there was one Shobha Yatra of the Utsav deities of Srirangam. So that's all very nice. The Rath Shobha Yatra was going on. Very nice Kirtan was going on. Everyone was ecstatic and very devotional mood. However, there was one couple in the procession, a young couple. They were acting very strangely. The male person, his name was Dhanurdas. He was so captivated by the eyes of this young woman. The procession was passing by, but he stood just gazing at this young girl's eyes, completely infatuated by her eyes. So Sripad Ramanujacharya saw this and he sent some of his disciples, tell them they should not be doing this, this is not proper. Lord is coming, Kirtan is going on, they should take part in the Kirtan. This procession is meant for the Lord's enjoyment, not their enjoyment. Many times we see on Rath Yatra, devotees, they partake in the Rath Yatra for some time, then they go on doing shopping or something like that. It's not supposed to be done like that. You concentrate on the festival, concentrate for the pleasure of the Lord. So anyway, Ramanujacharya asked his disciples to go enter. So this young couple, they were so infatuated. They do not listen to the disciples. So finally the disciples brought them over to Ramanujacharya. And Ramanujacharya instructed them, this is not proper, you should not do this. Lord is coming, give up your passionate nature. So the male person, Dhanurdas, he said that Reverend Acharya, but her eyes are so beautiful, I just can't take my eyes off her eyes. So Sripad Ramanujacharya said, you think that is beautiful, but I'll show you something much more beautiful than this. You come this evening. This Dhanurdas was not believing this, but he said, okay, if you say so, I don't think there's anything more beautiful than this girl's eye. But if you say so, I'll be very happy to see something more beautiful than this girl's eye. So he came this evening, that same evening. And came that evening, Sripad Ramanujacharya took him to see the beautiful eyes of Sriranganathji, who is in a reclining pose there. It's a very old deity coming from the time of Vibhishana, Lord Brahma. God had given this deity.
So this Ranganath deity's eyes were so beautiful that immediately Dhanurdas, he realized what I was looking for is nothing, it's insignificant compared to the beauty of Sri Ranganath ji. And he immediately decided to surrender to Sripad Ramanujacharya and became such a great devotee, very sincere disciple of Sripad Ramanujacharya. In fact, Sri Ramanujacharya, when he used to take goat for his bath in the Kaveri, he would, because he wanted to set example to other people. This Dhanurdas was coming from a Shudra family. Purposely, Sripad Ramanujacharya, while going for his bath to the Kaveri, would go accompanied by a Brahmana. And while coming back, he would insist that I will only go back with Dhanurdas. So the local people, they were saying, Acharya, this is not proper. For you to take a Shudra, or to be accompanied by a Shudra, if you insist that a Shudra must go with you, then better you take the Shudra while you are going for the bath. Then after the bath you are purified, then you come back with a Brahmana. But Sripad Ramanujacharya said, no. His purity is much more. So he insisted on Dhanurdas. Later on, there is another incident of same Dhanurdas. To show his greatness, Sri Ramanujacharya once he arranged a situation. He wanted to show how great he was, Dhanurdas. Although formerly he had been so attracted to the woman, but because that relationship had developed already, so Sripad Ramanujacharya got them married. But even though they were in a grihastha ashram, they were controlling their senses and they were very loyal. Once he performed, Ramanujacharya performed this pastime to show to his disciples about the renunciation of Dhanurdas. So he, in his ashram, when all the brahmacharis and sannyasis were asleep, he ordered some of his disciples, just go and cut everyone's kopens and throw them. In the morning, when the brahmacharis and sannyasis awoke, they were all ruffled and they started accusing each other, fighting with each other. Oh, you have taken my kopen. No, no, only you must have taken. Where are the kopens? There's a huge outcry there. The same evening, Sripad Ramanujacharya, he called for his disciple Dhanurdas and kept talking with him, kept him with him for a long, long time. This was part of his plan. In the meantime, he sent two of his disciples that you go to Dhanurdas' house and steal all the things from his wife. So the two disciples went there. That time Dhanurdas' wife, she was very tired, it was very late at night, she was just lying down to rest. These two disciples came and they took off the jewelry from one side, from the right side they took all the jewelry. And they were just about to take the jewelry. This lady, she knew, she could understand that these are my god brothers. Which, look at her mentality. Oh, they must be needing this. They are poor people after all, poor sannyasis. So let me turn over my side and let them take from my left side also. So she just turned around so that they could take the jewelry from the left hand side. But in the meantime, these disciples became afraid and they left. So later on, when Dhanurdas returned to his home, in the dim light, he saw something was amiss. He saw that jewelry from her right leg, right side was missing. So he asked her about this. So she explained everything, that God brothers came. And I just turned over so that they could take from the left side also. But they became afraid and left. So Dhanurdas, and this was being watched by Ramanuja's disciples. Because he had particularly wanted to show them the renunciation of Dhanurdas. Dhanurdas started chastising her. Oh, you greedy woman. You should have taken them off and given to them. Why did you not give it to them? They needed it. Just see the renunciation. Of course, we are not suggesting that everyone should become a grihastha. That is not the purpose of telling this story. But he was very renounced. So anyway, in our Krishna consciousness, we are engaged in so many activities, book distribution, building temples. But please do not forget that our goal is to purify ourselves. In Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said that the highest realization is to save ourselves. It's very good that we are trying to save other people, and we should do that. It's our duty. It's an obligation to Srila Prabhupada to save others just as he has saved us. But the highest realization, as Srila Prabhupada has said, is to save ourselves. First we must save ourselves. We must maintain purity. And we must always be very sincere. If we have this one quality of sincerity, then we may even be lacking in so many other qualities. We may make so many mistakes in Krishna consciousness. That is natural. But Krishna will still elevate us to the highest platform of Krishna consciousness if we maintain this by one quality of Krishna consciousness, sincerity in Krishna consciousness. We are up against a very tough fight with Maya, both in dealing with the atheists and then internally with our own senses. It's a struggle. But if we are sincere, Krishna will always help us. Be sincere. In the fight against Ravana, the army of Lord Ramachandra hardly had any weapons. Except for Lord Ramachandra and Lakshman, they were the only ones who had bows and arrows, perhaps a few others. All the monkey army of Lord Ramachandra, they were just using stones, mountains, boulders, sometimes uprooting trees and throwing at the army. And on the other side, Ravana had so sophisticated weaponry, one after another. But yet, who was victorious? Lord Ramachandra. In his army. I think the time is running out. Thank you very much for listening patiently. Any corrections? Any comments?
Hello. Hare Krishna. So it was decided that it was rather destined that if any man comes who has not seen any woman in his lifetime, any time, then the drought will be removed and rains will be there. So the prostitutes went to Sringa.
It's a very good question, very intelligent question. Okay.
That Sringa, Rishi, he saw the woman.
The prostitute, he saw the prostitute.
Then how that thing occurred that he came to the kingdom?
It's a very, very clever question. Everyone understand that question. Okay, I'll repeat that question for you. So Prabhuji has what's your name, Prabhuji?
Kitman.
Kitman. Okay, Kitman Prabhu has asked one question that if he had not seen a woman, he was supposed to, person was supposed to come who had not seen a woman, right? But obviously when the prostitutes went there, so he saw the woman. So how could that be fact? The condition was that up to that point, up to that particular point, if someone had not seen a woman, he would come at that particular point. So that particular point was before the prostitutes met, or he saw the prostitutes. Okay? That's all I know about that story. Prabhupada has mentioned that briefly in the 9th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's more elaborated in the Ramayana. Actually, in the Ramayana you hear a more detailed description about that.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
In our Vaishnava context, what is the definition of salvation and enlightenment? Are they same or different?
Mam janmani janmani shware bhavatad bhakti ohituki tui. A devotee does not care for salvation. A devotee just wants to be engaged in the service of the Lord. In fact, keval narakayate tri daspur akash pushpayate. Keval, merging into the Supreme Lord is like narka, is like hell. And enjoyment on the heavenly planets, tridaspur akasha pushpayate, it's like an imaginary flower palace in the sky. What does a devotee want? Devotee wants mama janmani janmanishware bhavatad bhakti rohitu kitoi. I just want to be your servant birth after birth. That's a privilege to be able to serve the Lord birth after birth. And that's a privilege we should all aspire for. If Krishna wants, he can take us, he can give us liberation, he can do anything. But our desire is to be his humble servant. Gopir bhatar pada kamalayam das 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 anudas. We want to just serve Krishna. Krishna can actually give us much more than we can ever expect. Even though from his point of view, he thinks that I'm not giving very much. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam by Sudama Brahmana. The Lord may give everything to his devotee. He can even give himself to his devotee. The verse goes on like this. Kinchit karati urva api swadatam. Kinchit karati urva api swadatam. Whatever Krishna gives to his devotee, he thinks, actually I am giving very insignificant, I am not giving anything, my devotee deserves so much but I am giving very little. And suhrit kritam falgu api cha bhuri krit. Whatever a devotee does, it may be falgu. Falgu means insignificant, useless. A devotee may do something very insignificant, but Krishna thinks, oh, what a wonderful devotee, he's doing so much. That's another point, but the point we are trying to make is that devotees, as Kapila Muni has said, they don't care for any type of liberation. They are interested only in serving the Lord.
Very nice realizations. I just wanted to share that I know when I'm receptive to the philosophy, I stay wide awake in Bhagavatam class. And when I'm resisting what Srila Prabhupada is communicating through his devotees, then I tend to go unconscious, call it nodding out or falling asleep. To me, it's a barometer of how much I'm resisting what is being given to me as the absolute truth. So I was falling asleep today. I'm resisting the philosophy today because it's so true. But I'm going unconscious to try to avoid it. I don't know if anyone else has that experience, but it's a barometer for me.
The inspiration to speak comes from seeing devotees like you and other devotees listening nicely. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.